wind of revival circling out of there. Somebody gave me a prophetic word about a year ago about the harvest of revival that's coming out across the ocean from Africa and to the United States. And so we're excited tonight to listen to what he's experienced, he and Pastor Rita, what they've experienced. Could you give them a great big hand as they come to share tonight? Pastors Tossi and Rita Wiley.
Thank you, Pastor Troy. Well, we just thank you all for helping to make this possible. But for our, now some are sort of behind that thing. I don't know if that screen is on back there or not. But if we did not have our church family support and prayers, we would have no testimony, nothing to share tonight. But we do appreciate and thank you all for your support and prayers. So many said they were praying for us as we were there. And it was an awesome experience. And we'll take time and share tonight some about the experience of AfriCamp. That was 2 weeks. My wife is going to share first. Amen.
Praise God. Glory. Our God is an awesome God. And again, I want to just thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart for your prayer. We felt it. I thank you. Mickey just shared some things that as she was praying for us that the Lord allowed her to see. And so many people were praying. I can't even keep track of everyone that came to me and said we were praying and that we had prayed. And I'm grateful for that. I take none of that for granted. We did not get sick. Glory to God. I did not forget that I needed to use bottled water to even brush my teeth. Glory to God. Because sometimes, you know, you could just look at the water and it doesn't look that bad and you might forget. But I remembered. God is so gracious. I really did not, when the Lord began to speak to us and say to us that we were going to go to AfriCamp this year, I really didn't know what to expect. You know, I've never been to Africa. I've worked with lots of people that have. I remember in particularly one woman that used to come and minister in our vineyard often talked about how the Africans worship so hard, how they worship so fervently and so long, and they can dance forever. And they sing hard and long, but it's sincere. It's not performance oriented. And so when the worship times comes, you're not like looking at the clock and trying to figure out like when they're going to get finished, when we're going to get to the word. I mean, how many times they're going to sing that verse? How many times they're going to do that step? I remember hearing once before that the dances that come to America come from Africa and they are worship dances when they start. Glory to God. Don't you know the enemy knows how to pervert things? But these people are people that are after God's heart. And I felt that it gave me a balance. You know, the word of God says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. And sometimes we can get too far over here. And we can sometimes swing too far over there. But we have to know that the God we serve is a righteous God. And he does not bless mess. Come on now, he don't bless mess. And if never before, now is the time to be clear about the true church of the living God. The theme of the conference was missions and the crown to martyrdom. Now, let me rewind a minute, because as I said, I did not know what to expect, but I have learned this much in my walk, that when God says something or gives you an instruction, as you mature, you stop kicking and screaming, you stop trying to figure it out, you stop saying what you can and cannot do, what you will and will not do. So I had already decided, well, I don't know if we're going to be in a little hut in a village, or if we're going to be in a palace. I have no idea what we're going to do, what's going to happen. And I don't know. I remember, I'm just sidetracking this little story. My daughter went to Africa her sophomore year of college for her whole sophomore semester from September to December. And I remember we had lunch right before I left, and I was asking her some things, and I said, well, what about the food? And she went to tell me this story that she never told me before. She said, we found a restaurant that had this great food that was more like home, and I got this sandwich this one time, and I lifted off my top of my sandwich before I got ready to eat it. And she said, Mom, there was a cockroach on it like about this big. And I was like, what? And here's my next question. Was it alive? So I have to demonstrate her response. She said,
bread, Panera bread. She said,
I'm like, okay. So in the meantime, I thought to myself, you know, she said the people were very apologetic. I thought to myself, now, Lord, I'm going to check all my sandwiches before I bite. But glory to God, I didn't have that experience. The food was great. We did try some of those dishes, and they were great. We did not get sick, glory to God. The place where we stayed was called the Speak Resort. It was awesome. You've been there before? Well, it is like paradise. In fact, in 2008, they reestablished it, rebuilt it, added on to it, expanded it, made it much more beautiful because the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, was coming to Uganda. And this is where she was going to be. So that was one extreme. The other extreme was what we kind of think when we think Africa. Villages, poverty, skinny chickens clucking around, skinny cows, dirt. Huts, small little living spaces. And we had opportunity to see this from the bus because three of the days of the second week, we took a bus up to Prayer Mountain. And at Prayer Mountain is where the presence of God is so tangible. The people have prayed and the atmosphere is so anointed that, you know, you're going to end up getting there. But the rules for driving in Africa, there are none. So from the airport, from Entebbe to get to Kampala was quite a journey of faith. Because the traffic just goes any kind of way they want to go. There are no lights, no stop signs. People look like you're going to have a head on. And that part is a little different. I can't say it was scared. I really wasn't afraid. And I gather that I wasn't afraid because so many people were praying for me. Because normally you would be afraid in that situation. Where we have laws, I'm finding myself nervous, but I just rode and I just like, oh, like that, you know, but I wasn't afraid. I wasn't thinking, you know, that I would have an accident. And I'm sure it's because the prayers of the saints availeth much. So we felt the protection. We met many people. And for me, globally, to see, really see all nations of people and all tongues. The Bible talks about every nation will praise him. There were 22 nations represented. There were close to 4,000 people at AfriCamp this year from everywhere. Only 60 people from the USA. People were from Germany, Taiwanians, Malaysian, Jews. It was everybody worshiping, praising, glorifying, and people came hungry for transformation. Transformation does not just happen. You have to be hungry for it. You have to be desperate for it. The nation of Uganda was desperate for change. And believe it or not, after hearing some of the messages, America needs to be desperate. It made us think. It made us reflect. It made us realize this is a time we're coming in. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but there's going to come a time where we're going to have to stand for our faith. We're going to have to stand not just for our faith, but for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So when I heard in the theme, and I'm going to bring it to a close because I know that Pastor Wiley has some things to share too. The theme was missions and the crown of martyrdom. Now, when I thought of martyrdom, I thought, okay, I don't know, what will this be about? But I related it most to the scripture in Galatians 2:20, and I'm going to go there real quick and just read it. Because I remember as a baby Christian, kind of just jumping over this scripture, but as I began to grow in Christ, I realized this was an important part of walking with Christ, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The martyrs are things, stories we hear about, but do we really, really realize that people give their lives, really give their lives, really die for Christ? So throughout the conference, there were periodically, they would read martyr stories. And Pastor Wiley had the privilege of reading a couple of them. But my mind would wonder a little bit when they read those stories. But I do want to share one story that really caught my heart. I don't remember the nationality of the person, but I remember this man, and he was being tortured. He was being tortured tremendously to deny Christ. And it wasn't working. And so finally his torturers said to him, we know what will get you. So they went and they brought his wife in. And they said, we're going to gouge her eyeballs out. And he was a little bit disturbed at that. And he pulled her forward and they began to talk. And she said, no, you cannot deny Christ. If they gouge my eyeballs out, I will see Jesus clearer. And then that didn't do it. He didn't deny Christ. So then they said, well, we're going to gouge her tongue out. You see, in America, we don't think about these things. I really can, honestly, transparent, I don't really think about these things. I'm comfortable. We got tons of Bibles in our homes, in our cars, everywhere. But when they went to gouge her tongue out again, her and her husband had a little conversation. And his wife said, no, you cannot deny Christ. And my last words will be, praise Jesus. I just felt so challenged. And I want to impart that challenge to you. I feel that it is a time for us like never before to be serious about our love for the Lord. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, we're going to experience a miracle tonight. I am going to attempt, with the help of the Spirit of God, to give in about 35 minutes a summary and the heart of the ministry time at AfriCamp. Now, 10 days of ministry, 3 to 4 sessions a day. I don't mean an hour of preaching, a session, a couple hours. The last day, we're on Prayer Mountain. Service started around 10 o'clock. 7:30 a.m. Finished at 7:15 p.m. with a half an hour break. So there were 10 days of this. Now I'm going to give you a capsule because I want to attempt to impart the heart of God that Pastor John Melende, Pastor Mark Daniels, and others had captured that was imparted to us that literally changed our lives. As Pastor Rita shared, the theme of AfriCamp was missions and the crown of martyrdom. No one really knew what to expect with that. But as she said, there were 3,000 to 4,000 people in attendance from 22 nations. The nations, I'm going to share with you who they were. Kenya, Tanzania, Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda, Burundi, South Sudan, Australia, South Africa, Zambia, Nigeria, Lithuania, South Korea, Malaysia, Lithuania, Austria, Germany, Croatia, United Kingdom, the Czech Republic, USA, Switzerland, and Israel, and obviously the host country, Uganda. Now, there was a flag ceremony that was quite awesome when all the nations came with their flag. And Pastor John Melende just shared something about each nation. And I began asking myself, why are the nations of the world coming to Uganda? Why are they coming to AfriCamp? And I realized, and I understood some of this before we went, that the Ugandans have a depth of revelation of God and his word that was attained by desperately seeking God. Their revelation was born out of experiencing God move in that nation. Out of that desperation, Pastor John shared that in 1996, they called a national fast for prayer for the nation. 90-day fast. No food, 90 days. They were desperate to see a move of God in the land. And God promised that if they committed to that, he would open up the nation from the president to the least ones in the nation. Over 10,000 people throughout the nation committed to 90 days of fasting and seeking God. And God honored his promise. And in 1997, at a 10-day repentance and revival conference, the president of Uganda stood up, took the flag of the nation, and handed it over to the intercessors. When I heard that, I immediately got a picture of what happened in Nineveh when God had sent Jonah to preach against that city because their sin had come up to God, and God said, I'm going to wipe them out. 40 days in your history. You know the story. Jonah didn't want to do that because he knew God's mercy and grace. He had a little detour, but eventually he got back on track, and he went to Nineveh and preached the word of God. And what happened in Nineveh? the king came down off his throne, sat in sackcloth and ashes. The king of Nineveh called a national fast. And he said, not only are the people not going to eat and they're going to fast and be in sackcloth and ashes, but so are the animals. Everybody is going to participate in this, because who knows? God may change his mind about the evil that he was going to bring on our land. And they fasted and they repented. And it says God was required, that his spirit was at ease, at peace. And he changed his mind about the evil that he had prophesied he was going to do in Nineveh. And the same happened in the nation of Uganda. So why do nations come to Uganda? They come to be equipped spiritually to see God move in transformation in their nations. They are serious about God. They have an experience of God because they were desperate for God. That's why their worship is so fervent. That's why their prayers are so moving, and it moves the heart of God. And we were privileged to be in the midst of that for 10 days. You didn't do anything else. We never went into town to shops or the market because you didn't want to miss anything. And we were saturated with the word of God and the presence of God. Now, we also had the opportunity to witness something that was quite phenomenal, and that is the global church, the body of Christ. We witnessed people from around the world, Asians, in fellowship, genuine fellowship with Kenyans and Nigerians, Germans, relationship with Jews. I mean, this was pure heart relationships. I've never witnessed anything. We don't have this in our country, not at this point. There were no biases or prejudices of any kind that could be detected. All these nationalities and ethnic groups and cultures, the only thing that mattered to anybody was the Christ in you. You got a sense that the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, that he asked the Father to make them one, so the world will know that you sent me. You got a sense that that prayer is literally being answered in the earth. I was convicted of my biases and prejudices. It's amazing how we see people and judge people by their outer. And the Bible says, no man after the flesh. And we have a long way to go. I was convicted of how I have biases and prejudices that I thought I was all right. But when you see something pure, genuine, it shows us where we are. And when that happens, we repent before God. So we had the opportunity to see the global church and to understand that God has a global plan, a worldwide plan. This thing is much bigger than we are. And we understand that, and we understand the bigness and the awesomeness of God. He has a worldwide church, and he is building a worldwide army that will conquer in his name. Now, I'm going to talk just a moment or two about this crown of martyrdom. Most did not know what that was. One of the people who were of our, by the way, there were 66 people from the U.S. in attendance, and that was the largest group there. There were 11 from Cleveland who were there, and so we had good fellowship and connection. One of the people in our group from Cleveland said, a friend of hers who we know had planned to go to Africa. She had her parents had given her money for her ticket and everything, and she was all ready to go, all plans, had made all her plans, and they sent her a outline of Africa 2013. And when she saw the theme, missions, and the crown of martyrdom, she said, I ain't going. And she looked at her friend and said, you still going? She did not want to deal with this crown of martyrdom because she didn't know what it was about. And that's an attitude that many of us have in the West. We don't want to think about that. You know, when I saw it, I was a bit puzzled. I mean, it wasn't at a point where I said, I'm not going to go. But I'm saying, wow, they could have come up with a better thing. I was anticipating, you know, a different thing. So they could come up with something better than that. But we learned something. And it was necessary to learn that martyrdom does not necessarily mean sacrificing or surrendering your physical life. It may mean that, and it could come to that, but it also means dying to your own will, dying to self, and being willing to take up the cause of Christ as our number one priority in life. And it was shared that the church can no longer just preach a gospel of comforts and blessings of God. We must teach and preach the full gospel that also includes denying self and suffering for Christ. When we fail to do that, when new believers come to the Lord and they experience suffering, they're going to buck and run because nobody told me that. I was only told that I'm going to be blessed. So we have to begin sharing the fullness of the gospel, which does mean denying myself, taking up my cross and following Christ. Christ did go to the cross. He did sacrifice his life for us. So there may be suffering involved for Christ. And that's why we must be taught how to stand. How to stand firmly in Christ, knowing that we have eternal life through him, and that he has already won the victory. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, all, and that includes us, hopefully, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now that's what the Bible says. We don't talk about that a lot. but it's still true. It's evident today. You seek to live godly and stand on the word of God in this nation on certain issues, you are going to be persecuted. There is a tide in this country of darkness that's moving, that is attempting to push the word of God out of the society. And when you stand up and declare the word of God, the darkness is going to push hard at you. Persecution will come to you. Now, one of the prophetic words that came from AfriCamp was that worldwide persecution of Christians is going to happen. In fact, it is happening. And that it would begin in America, spread to Europe and the rest of the world. Now, that is why we must equip and prepare the body of Christ to stand. There is going to be persecution, suffering, and things that will not be comfortable to our carnal, natural man. Pastor Mark Daniel shared so much about the persecution in America, what is already happening, and how forces are attempting to silence the voice of God. Have any of you heard of a pastor from Springfield, Massachusetts? His name is Pastor Scott Lively. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him and what's happening with him. And this was shared at AfriCamp. I did not know about this pastor and what was going on. March 14th of this year, a lawsuit was filed, a 47-page lawsuit was filed in federal district court in Springfield, Massachusetts against this pastor. He's a well-known pro-family writer and speaker, and the lawsuit was filed on behalf of homosexual activists in Uganda. Now, follow this for a moment. It was filed on behalf of homosexual activists in Uganda. They are charging Pastor Lively with violating laws of nations and a crime against humanity. They are using a law in the U.S. from the 1700s to bring this lawsuit against this pastor. Now, he is accused of inciting murder, torture, and other civil rights violations in Uganda. They claim that Lively's meetings and conversations with church leaders and public officials on pro-family issues in 2009 caused Ugandan parliament to introduce harsh anti-homosexual law. Though the bill was never passed, they claim it led to attacks on the homosexual community in Uganda. The suit is asking for compensatory damages, punitive damages, exemplary damages, attorney fees, and declaratory judgment that the defendant's conduct is in violation of the laws of nations, as well as such other relief. They are trying to silence this man. Now, this lawsuit is being brought on behalf of Ugandans in America. Now, in Uganda, there was, and let me get the name of the person. Now, this is being funded by an organization out of New York in this country. There was a, let me see if I find this name of this person, David Kato, who was a homosexual activist in Uganda. David Kato was killed by his lover, but the international media has said that Uganda is killing homosexuals, and they have linked Pastor Lively to this man's death, although his homosexual lover confessed to the crime and is spending 30 years in jail. They are still saying internationally that Uganda is killing homosexuals, and they're seeking to silence Pastor Lively. These types of things are happening in this country. I got an email today regarding the Boy Scouts of America. Some of you may know about that. The Boy Scouts of America had withstood the attacks from the homosexual agenda for years. But at this point, they are beginning and leaning towards giving in and changing the definition of sexual orientation for the Boy Scouts of America. These are major attacks that's coming in this nation. Pastor Mark Daniel shared that 30 years ago, he said he pulled out a cassette tape of this. There was a pastor in this country who warned, this was in the 80s, about the homosexual agenda and how they would be seeking civil rights and all that. 30 years ago, this pastor warned the church about this. But today, this pastor is performing gay marriages. You see, there is an agenda. It's a worldwide agenda that if the church is not awakened and take a stand, at some point, the church has to say enough is enough. We have to first be fully awakened to this darkness, because the darkness creeps in gradually and we adjust to it gradually. And before we know it, our thoughts and our mindsets have adjusted to darkness, and we've made accommodations in our mind and in our heart for darkness. We cannot remain in that place. We must be awakened and enlightened to the truth of God's word and God's purposes. Now, after Pastor Mark, he preached two very, very, very powerful messages related to really what's happening in America. And he was talking about, he and others, and a prophet, this is very interesting, Pastor Mark shared these things, and there was a prophet who shared after he was, who was not in the service, and he came right back and spoke prophetically the exact same things that Pastor Mark had shared. And this prophet also shared about the coming economic chaos worldwide. Now, we see all the signs of this. But he also said that is going to begin in America, move to Canada, and then spread worldwide. We must be awakened, and it can no longer be casual Christianity. Someone used the phrase that I'm going to use it as much as I can. I didn't write it down, but it impressed me so much, I'll probably never forget it. He said, if you are a casual Christian, then you're going to be a casualty. Time out for that. You see, the desperation that moved Ugandans to seek God. See, it would be great if we would just obey God's word. Just do what he said. But our human nature is not bent that way. You see, what's going to happen? There is going to be persecution in this nation. And the persecution that's going to come is going to bring us to the end of ourselves. And it's going to cause us to seek God and press into God like we never have before. Because we are not going to have answers, just as the Ugandans did not have answers. And they sought God. And God heard and God answered. You know, I shared when I shared here a couple of weeks ago how in the 86, I believe, the World Health Organization had said to Uganda, at that time, 30% of your population is going to die from AIDS. Another 30% of your population will be infected with AIDS. And the remaining population are going to be old people and AIDS-infected babies. In other words, your nation is history. When the government got word of that, the government came to the pastors in the nation and said, can you help? Well, the pastors saw that as a tall task, but they went before God. And what God said to them, now this is the government said, the medical community has no answer. The international community has no hope. And we, the government, don't know what to do. Now, isn't that a setup? That seems like a position of weakness, but it really isn't. It means you come to the end of yourself. You don't know what to do. And you need God. That's the best place to be. It reminds me of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. The Bible there talks about how there were major armies that come against Jehoshaphat to war. And the Bible says that Jehoshaphat feared and he set himself to seek the Lord. Called a national fast. There's something in these national fasts. Called the fast of Jerusalem and Judea and Judah. And they came together and they prayed. And the Bible says this, that Jehoshaphat with his lieutenants, his generals, with their wives and their little ones stood. And the Jehoshaphat prayed and said, God, we have no might against this army that's come out against us. We have no plan and we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. The Bible says that right then, the Spirit of God moved upon the prophet in the camp and said to Jehoshaphat, "Don't fear, King Jehoshaphat. This battle is not yours, it's mine." You see, when we get to the end of ourselves, we call out to God, and God hears, and he answers. Nigeria did that. Nineveh did that. Jehoshaphat did that. The U.S. will yet do that. And our God will hear, and our God will answer. But we have to first get to the end of ourselves. Now, the persecution that's coming and the economic turmoil that's coming is going to get America to the end of ourselves. And we are going to cry out to our God. And our God is going to hear. And our God is going to answer. After Pastor Mark Daniels preached these powerful messages, I had a chance to talk with him. And I said, "Now, if the persecution is going to start in America and move around the world, then that means the glory is going to start in America and move around the world." And he said, "Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. So there's hope with this thing." You see, we must get the presence of God in our land. And when we seek him with desperation, with all our heart, God cannot help himself but to move and come in our midst. So, don't fear persecution, but let's be strengthened ourselves in the power of God. We must get to a place of total surrender and yielding to God, that God is our all in all. We have died to self. We have crucified flesh. We have taken up our cross, and we're following God. And he fills us with himself. Now, what foe can stand against God? You see, if something comes, God said this to me once. He said, "I want you to be so filled with my presence and surrendered to me that any foe that comes against you will run into me." You see, if I am emptied out and I am filled with him, anything that comes against me is coming against him. And there ain't nothing that can be a foe can be equal to God. So there is hope that the glory of God is going to follow the persecution. Now, the theme song from AfriCamp was a song that we don't sing in the West. I may have heard it once or twice, but when I heard it, I didn't hear all the lyrics. But this was his theme song of AfriCamp. "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb." How many know that song? I see a half a hand. Yours. Well, that's a full hand. It just didn't go up real high. You couldn't help it. It was up high. But "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb." Now, it's a unique song. It deals with issues that we don't like, that's not comfortable to us. It does not coincide with our... Oh, you know, do you have just the lyrics or you got the song? Which you have? The lyrics? I know. Okay, good. Okay. Now, this song, we're going to just read it. I tried at the very last minute today to find out if Tracy could get somebody to sing it. But it was very last minute. And I felt I should not sing it. the persecution may start sooner. We didn't want to start tonight, did we? But this song does not flow with the comfort that we have been accustomed to with the gospel that we have been really most familiar with. But let's put it back up. Okay, now I'm going to just read the lyrics. You can read it. You can look at it too. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before the tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one, they chose to die. The Son of God, they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and the years have gone, and the cause of Christ still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world and embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on that final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, let's stand up. Let's sing this a little bit. We off key. Come on, Rita. Come on. Let's just sing that chorus.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength and all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Next verse. Give me the next verse.
That was it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for the word of God that stirs our hearts, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that you have a plan, that you have a global plan for your church, Lord God. And Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that you are building an army worldwide, Father God, through whom you will move in the earth, Lord God. Through whom you will wage war in the earth, Lord God. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that even in this land, in our nation, Father God, that you are raising up a mighty army who will hear your voice, Lord God, surrender to you, Lord God, lay it all down for the cause of Christ, make you the number one priority in our lives, Lord God. Father God, equip us to stand in the midst of trial, stand in the midst of persecution, Lord God. Jesus, you said in John 16:33, that in this world you will have trials, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we lean on your word. We trust your word. We will not fall back in the face of trials. We will not shrink back in the face of persecution, Lord God. But we will stand boldly and proclaim the name of Jesus. We will stand boldly and proclaim the word of God, what thus saith the Lord. Father God, I pray that you strengthen each of us in our inner man, Lord God, that we will be fearlessly bold, Lord God, to speak your word, to speak your word in season and out of season, Lord God, to speak it wherever you send us, Lord God, that we'll know that your word stands forever, Lord God. So I thank you, Father God, for equipping us tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for encouraging our hearts tonight. I pray, Father God, for this nation of America. I pray, Father God, that you raise up a remnant in this nation, Lord God. Father, you said in your word that those who know their God will be strong and they'll do exploits in the earth, Lord God. Father, count us in that number, Father God, who know you, Lord God. And we'll be mighty, we'll be strong, and we'll do exploits in the earth to your glory. And we bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and a prayer is not necessarily an altar call for salvation, although if one is in need of salvation, you certainly come. But an altar call of surrender, an altar call of yielding to Jesus, an altar call to lay it all aside for the cause of Christ, to be in agreement, to be strengthened in the days to come, that we may be able to strengthen our brothers. Can we get our altar ministers to come? We want to be in agreement with you. We want to encourage you. Come on, Pastor Reed, as well. So if you're in this place and you feel the Spirit of God tugging at you, prompting you, okay, let's lay it all down. Let's lay it down. See, this is the real deal. This is the real deal. God is raising an army. And those who are in this army, it's not based on our ability, our inability. It's only based on our yielding to mighty God so he can work through us. He has already won the victory. So we must allow him to move through us to accomplish his purposes in the earth. If you want prayer, come on. We'll pray with you. We'll agree with you. Just let our ministry team just minister as the Lord leads you. Feel free to come this way before you go. Continue to live right. Love everybody. Pray mightily hard in Jesus' name.